John chapter 6, and I'm going to go to verse number 25. I want to speak to you tonight on the gifts of God, the gifts of God. John chapter number 6, notice verse number 25, and we're going to read down to verse 35. It begins, says, "And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then say unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you that true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you so much for the singing, the music tonight. Thank you for those who came and participated, and really the joy that I saw expressed from their hearts. I pray you might bless now as we come to your word. Open our hearts to it, and Lord, we might understand the marvelous gifts that you have given to us. And for this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Earlier in this chapter, if we would start back at the very first, we would find that the Lord was feeding 5,000 men. We don't know how many there were total, but there were 5,000 of them that were men. We find immediately after that, in verse 15, that he goes by himself alone to pray. While that's taking place, the disciples sail across the Sea of Galilee, and they meet up in a storm. And then Jesus comes to them walking on the water. Now, the story of Peter is not here in the book of John, but we know this is the time that Peter walked on the water to go to him. Some people say, yeah, he began to sink. Well, did you ever walk on water? Huh? And when he began to sink, he knew what to do. Did you ever think of that? He called on the Lord, and the Lord said, come on, and he started walking again. And they went back to the boat together. But we find that after that takes place, they get to the other side, and then the people where he was at begin to realize that he was gone, and he'd gone the other side. And so they come seeking for him. And when they find him, they question him how he got there. But Jesus reaches into the heart of the problem, or into the heart of the matter, I should say, and he says something in verses 25, 6, and 7 that I believe was astonishing in this regard. They were more interested in his miracles than in him. Let's read that once again. Verse 25, it says, "They found him on the other side of the sea. They said to him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." Isn't that interesting? They had gotten something from him, and they were more interested in that than they really were in him. By the way, that's a whole lot of truth when it comes to people in our world today. They want the miracles, they want this, they want that, but they're not really interested in Christ himself. And then with this answer concerning work, they say, what should we do that we might work to get everlasting life? And they desire to know what to do. We find that in verse number 28. What shall we do that we might work the work of God? And what does Jesus say? Verse 29. He basically says that ye believe on him whom he has sent. If you find somebody says, well, you can't get to heaven unless you work your way there, here's the work that you do. You believe on him that sent the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe in what Jesus did for you upon the cross of Calvary. And by the way, this belief is specific as it concerns him. Some people, they talk about faith, they talk about believing, and they just kind of make it in a generic sense, but it's very particular that it's a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people who believe in the devil. There are people who believe in all sorts of different things, but it's belief in him that we are seeking after. Well, we find something interesting. That is, the Jew was never content with just believing what God said. They wanted something to verify it. Did you notice verse 33:1 again? Let's look at that. It says, "They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee that thou dost work?" Good grief, they saw 5,000 men get saved. "Our fathers did eat manna in the deserts, written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." We find that they were just never content with just believing what God said. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, a very short verse, but one that is very important in understanding something about all the things we might call signs. For there it says, "The Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." They want some sort of sign. And so the Lord says, "Hey, listen, I've got something far greater for you than the bread that Moses gave you. It's a spiritual bread." And from the context, we understand that their concern was about the gift of God, though they sought physical, visible gift. They wanted something. And so I stop and I think about it. A season that we give gifts, we need to focus perhaps on some of the great gifts of God. What has God given to us? And so I begin to search and to think on this particular thing as I've looked at this section today. This is part of my reading today. And it's marvelous to read the Bible, just get thoughts and so forth. And so what I came to find out was a few things about the gifts that God's given us. So think about a few of these. One of these we find in James chapter 4, verse 6, "But he giveth more grace." But he giveth more grace. God gives us enough grace. God gives it. Goes on, that verse says, "Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." And so those with the right spirit, those with the right attitude, those who see themselves as nothing, can receive the grace of God. You know, if you're really good and you really think you're really good, what do you need grace for? And so it's people who are, can we say, down and out, that realize they need somebody to lift them up. And there's the grace of God that's awaiting for them. The marvelous grace of God. Really, when we think about it, it's the only way to salvation, is it? For by grace are ye saved. Wow. And so God has given to us this marvelous thing of grace. I believe it's a result of his love that it comes about. We find something else that God has given to us, and that is wisdom. God gives wisdom. You go back to the book of Proverbs, and as you folks know, I've been doing a whole lot in the book of Proverbs, and one of the things I'm thinking about doing right now is going through and just every subject is touched upon, go back and find every verse that deals with that particular subject, because there's some tremendous teaching there. And he says in chapter 2, verse 6, "The Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." You know, people can learn things, they can learn facts, but they need to have wisdom in order to make proper decisions in regards to those facts. Some of us would call that common sense. Have you noticed something about common sense? It's not common anymore. The reason is because we lack the wisdom of God. As a people as a whole, we have turned our backs on God, and we lack that wisdom that he has there for us. God gives wisdom that we might make right and proper decisions in our life. In James chapter 1, verse 5, he says it like this: if any of you lack wisdom, how many say, yeah, that's me, preacher? Huh? Don't break your arm, but put it up. You lack it. You need it all the time, do you not? If you lack wisdom, you might have some, but you need more, right? If you lack wisdom, he says, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Now, it's the only time that you're allowed to be liberal. Otherwise, you need to be conservative. But seriously, liberal in giving. He gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He doesn't scold us for it. And it shall be given him. Wow. If we lack it, ask of God, and he gives it. Marvelous. So this season, we think about gifts and all the things that we get from folks and the things we give to people. And we're getting ready for this and that, and we got all this ready for the other one, and on we go. And yet we find God has already given us some of those marvelous things, his grace and his wisdom. Think about this for a moment. God gives us something else. I hadn't thought about this till I saw it in the Word of God. It says in Acts chapter 11, verse 18, and when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God. Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Do you ever think about repentance as a gift from God? God gives us the ability to repent, to turn away, to change our mind. So how does he do that? By the way, the Bible says God repents. Some people say, well, how could he do that? Because he's never been bad. No, he's never been bad. But God changes operations from time to time, and so it talks about, and he uses the word repent. In other words, he changes the direction, the way he operates. And so God gives us grace. God gives us wisdom. God gives us the ability to repent. A lot of people need to be using that gift that God's given us in that area. We already alluded to this one, and that is faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You know what the next few words are? It is the gift of God. Wow. Even the faith that you possess is something that God grants to you. God gives you the ability to have. You know, when we begin to look at these things, it becomes very apparent to us, without him, we are nothing. And all that we have is all wrapped up in the Lord. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29 says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Oh, we like that first part of that, not only to believe on him. We don't get excited about suffering for his sake. But God gives us the ability to believe. A thing called faith. We come into this world operating on faith. Our newest little one in our family, little Benton, he's 8, 9 months old? I can't remember. I was expecting to see this little baby still wrapped up in all these little rent blankets and, you know, everything, and here this guy's almost walking. And you know what? Little kids are dependent. They're born that way. They're born dependent on mom and dad. They're born dependent upon anybody that's around. God's given them that ability. Our problem is we grow older and things don't happen just the way we want to, and we begin to become skeptics and all those kinds of things. And sometimes our faith begins to wane. But God has a gift for us. If we look to him, and listen, I find something very true in the Word of God, and that is faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so if we want that faith to reestablish itself in our hearts and our minds, we need to get in the Word of God. Say, what good does that do? Well, one is you read all these stories of people who believed God and saw what God did for them. How many times have you started building a boat in your backyard because you knew that there was going to be a flood of waters come by and you could go out and go fishing in it? But there was a guy named Noah who did exactly that, did he not? I mean, it's marvelous. We stop and look at all those stories. And then we find the promises of God. And so when we believe a promise of God, then we see that fulfilled. How many in this room say, "Preacher, I know. I've had prayers answered. I know that. I've had them answered personally. I've asked God, and He's done this." And God simply has told us to ask of Him, and He would bless us. And when we ask, we're asking in faith because we're believing Him to do it. Why else would we ask Him? Why else would we ask Him? Lindsay, I know you're married now, and I know that all your depends upon Isaac and, you know, all that marvelous, gushy stuff. All that business comes with married life. And let's go back just 2-3 years ago. you're home, and you know that if you asked this of Daddy, he wouldn't do it. Would you ask him? You wanted something, I don't know what it is, but you knew that whatever, he would not answer it. Would you still ask him? You would? Just maybe. Most of the time we wouldn't at all, would we? Do you know, growing up, when I was 16, I didn't ask my mom and dad for a Corvette. They should have been willing to have bought me one. How many would agree? Yes, guys. Yeah. I think it'd make a great 75th birthday present. Just stating some facts here. But seriously, I don't even know if I could fit in one. Why do we pray? Why do we ask for things? Because we believe that there will be an answer there. And God gives us the faith to believe that. And you understand the last one I'm going to mention this evening. That is very simple. This, His Son. For God so loved the world, He what? Gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Aren't you thankful for the gifts of God? So often we think in terms of material blessings. And I'm thankful for those. I'm thankful for food that we have. And oh my goodness, when my family's all home, it's like going to camp. We eat and then we talk and then we eat and then we talk. I got on a scale this morning, honestly, it was 6 pounds heavier than it was the day before. I know the scale must be broken. How did I get on that? God's so gracious. We get all these things. We get our food. We get our clothing. We get places to live in. Some seem to be better than others, and we have transportation. By the way, aren't you glad tonight you could drive a car so you have to go out and hook the horse and buggy up? The Fichters, both of them, they'd still be on their way to church. It'd take a whole day to get to church with a horse and buggy from your house. You know that? Probably. Boy, you bail out really easy, don't you? But God gives us those things. Let's think about the spiritual blessings. I don't know what you've done at this season, your family, but I think it's good to stop and think about those kinds of things as well. And the great goodness of our God as He has gifted us. as he's given to us wisdom, given us of his love, given us faith, given us his son. How thankful we ought to be. Amen. Praise his name. Let's go to him in prayer. Chad, do you have a letter tonight? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much tonight for these moments we can have together. Thank you for the marvelous songs and the privilege to sing together. Lord, I thank you tonight that we can just rehearse a few things about your marvelous gifts to us. Lord, we realize tonight that we wouldn't even be here if it weren't for you. We wouldn't exist. We couldn't continue to exist. And we certainly would not exist forever. And how we thank you tonight for your marvelous goodness to us. I pray as we take a few moments to consider our missionaries and to pray for them that you might bless in this time in Christ's name. Amen.